today, go and buy a flight, one way ticket somewhere, you won't regret it, because getting out of your comfort zone is always tough, but that's really where you grow the most, where you get the best experiences, where you learn the most.
Welcome back to another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we explore ways to achieve those two goals. And you know that my caveat is long, happy life, right? There's no good in having a long life if you're miserable all the time. So that is one of the main reasons why, but actually there are a lot of reasons why I'm very excited to welcome Karim Karachny today, because Karim has it all. He's a really fun, interesting, great person. He's a digital nomad. He was born in Quebec, Canada. Then he grew up in France with Algerian roots. And then 10 years ago, he moved back to Canada, out west, then east. Then he got married. Then he started like taking his life really on the road. He's lived in Kuwait, Malaysia. And then like sometimes I talk to him and he's in like Alabama. That's not actually true. But, he tries to be an embodiment of the mantra, work to live, don't live to work. And that, I think, is what, in my opinion, that's the reason to be an entrepreneur. But I know everybody isn't doesn't feel that way. But being a multi-hatted or multi-hats digital entrepreneur, I mean, nomad entrepreneur, is not always easy. But making mistakes, figuring things out, and improving is fun and exciting to Karim. He owns Steamates. Sorry. A successful
exactly.
cleaning business
with both ways
in Canada, which is currently up for sale if you want to buy Steamates. His other and main venture is being in charge of franchise development in Eastern Massachusetts, which happens to be where I am, which is why I know Karim, for a real estate company, which is disrupting the industry and changing the lives of both franchisees and their clients, which is propertyguys.com. Karim, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here, specifically because most podcasts where I go to, I'm invited on. I get to discover the host, but in your case, I got to know you first, and now I'm so glad to be on your podcast. Congrats on your 200 episodes, by the way. That's
thank
a big
you. Yeah,
achievement.
We're in year. I think it's this week actually that the end of year four is going to air, and we're going into year five. So you'll be in year five. You'll be part of the year five experience.
There
yeah, is
go.
That awesome?
Fifth season.
Yeah, the fifth season.
Yeah.
And that it's gone by really, really fast. But I guess that's the way life is right now.
What drove you to start it in the first place? Sorry to ask you, because I'm very curious.
I think you're interviewing me, but that's okay. I like it.
That's my one question.
Okay, good. So this has been, a lot of my life has been, especially since I turned 50, a lot of my life has been like just following the path. One thing leads me someplace else, which leads me someplace else. So I guess life in general led me to start doing speaking, like learning, which you never could tell by the way I'm talking right now in this podcast, but to do public speaking, to want to do public speaking. And then I took some, I did a class with Brian Tracy, learning how to do public speaking. And then he suggested that I join National Speakers Association. So I did that. And then while I was there that PodFest had a booth at the National Speakers Association thing. And I was started talking to them about podcasting and stuff, and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty fun. So I went to PodFest, and then I met a bunch like, I want to do a podcast. So it's a podcasting is a totally selfish endeavor for me. I know like lots of people get lots of value out of the amazing people that I interview, but like I get to ask them the questions I want to ask them, right? And I talk to people who I wouldn't even know. I never would even be able to connect with them. But because of podcasting, they came to me and said, hi, will you talk to me? I'm like, yes, and you just realize how amazing. Yeah. So there's no way I'm stopping, even if it's just, me and my mother that are listening.
I'll keep listening myself too.
You can be number three. But no, actually, as we were talking about before we started airing, It's been amazing. We're in the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. We're in over 50 wow. countries. I actually haven't counted lately. So it was 50 countries over a year ago. So I'm sure we're in more than that now. And at one point we were the number two business podcast in
North America, maybe?
No, in a small Caribbean country. I'm trying to remember. Oh, Barbados.
Barbados.
We were the number two. And I don't know if we still are. That just somebody emailed me to let me know that, which was amazing. And I don't know. Maybe we're number one by now. I need a Barbin to like send me a note and say, yeah, man, we love you here. Yeah. So yeah, no, go ahead. Awesome. Send me a note. Let me know where I'm ranking in Barbados right now. But now, can I ask you some questions?
I was going to say, if I do have some follow-up questions, I'll create my own podcast to interview you in more detail.
Then you'll have to start your own podcast and hear it. Go ahead. We'll make this an episode like questions you never knew that you wanted to know about Chris.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Ask away.
I did have some follow-up questions, but I pushed them aside. Okay. I was going to ask you, what you got out of it, and if you actually ended up doing any kind of collaboration or any business with some of your guests that, as you said, you would not have met in any other way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I often, a lot of them are coaches or they have groups, you know, that get together that are like mastermind type groups. I've done some of that and I've followed a lot of them, but you know, you can only do so much. So I can't be everybody's client, but yeah, some of the relationships have been ongoing where we just keep running into each other and right. And then now that we know each other, now that we're sort of got connected, that then we think, oh, let me tell you somebody that you can be in your podcast. And they'll tell me, you know, like a lot of the people have their own podcast. So we'll trade guests back and forth and things like that. So it's been amazing, but I actually want to do a better job of that.
I'm sure some of your clients also came from listening to you consistently and then decided to buy a house, sell a house and use your service or the Beehive. I'm a big fan of the Beehive, by the way, to your audience. That's, you know, roughly when you launched it, that's when we got acquainted. So that was about, 6 months ago, maybe a little longer.
Yeah, I opened it.
So I saw the growth. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I saw the growth virtually, but I saw you growing it and to where it is now. So super, super, super excited and happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's talk about propertyguys.com and then we can talk about your really cool lifestyle.
Yeah, sure. So I'll do a quick introduction on Property Guys and then more specifically what I do and those who have the video, you know, they have a teaser here. But basically, yeah, propertyguys.com started 25 years ago. It's not a new company. It originated in Canada, actually, and grew to a very successful, very known brand from coast to coast. The idea is to offer a different way of doing real estate, because a lot of people know that real estate is an industry that hasn't really changed over 100 years. Some people want to do things differently, whether, you know, for sale by owners, people who want to sell properties on their own, or investors. So that's actually the market where Property Guys originated. They wanted to offer a whole range of services to those people who have already decided, hey, I want to sell on my own. How do I do that? And so the idea, and it really hasn't changed pretty much from day one, is to choose a package. So if you want to sell your house or your commercial property, you would choose a package that includes all the services that you need to sell your property efficiently, smoothly, with the level of control that you want. So by services, I mean the stager, the photographer, appraiser, the lawyer, listing on the MLS, on all platforms, and so on and so forth. But the thing is, all of that is for a one-time flat fee. It doesn't matter how much your property is valued. There is no commission. So whether you have a $2 million property or a $250,000 condo, it's typically around 4 or 5 grand, and you have all the services included, nothing to pay extra. Obviously you can imagine that it's a model that has taken off really quickly 25 years ago, and now grew, as I said, coast to coast, but not just with Fizbot, with any kind of sellers. And then they started offering services also to buyers and even in the rental space. So it really evolved to be some kind of a one-stop shop for everything real estate, including also a platform that is similar to Zillow, a whole bunch of automation also for the communication between each, between the buyer, the service providers, and so on and so forth. Anyways, without going too much in details, that what PropertyGuys does. But now from a business standpoint, and that's where I fit in, it is a franchise model. So for those who are not familiar with the franchisee in this specific case owns a territory, a piece of the map, where they not only have exclusivity, they are the only one, they are one out of one. So they have no competition internally, but they get to do, you know, this business development of their business, their own business, without having to reinvent everything from scratch, like in a startup model, and with the systems and the processes set by PropertyGuys that have been perfected for over 25 years, as well as all the support provided by the franchisor to the franchisee. In this specific case, they provide, you know, marketing service, lead generation, a call center in-house that take on calls, and so on and so forth. So that allows this franchisee to basically start with multiple, you know, length ahead compared to if they had to start a business from scratch, with a whole team behind them, helping them in their success. And so obviously the risk associated with starting a business is considerably lowered. The cost is also lowered, so that's a franchise model. And now my part in all of that, I'm in charge of franchise development for the state of Massachusetts specifically, but I'm also helping other neighboring, all other states like Florida and Texas, Connecticut. In the years to come, we will open other states like New Hampshire and so on. So my job really is to find those, gems, those aspiring entrepreneurs, those real estate professionals that want to own their own business, but they don't want to reinvent the wheel. They want to a proven model, and not a guarantee of success, but high chances of success and quick ROI. That's what I do.
Nice. And that's the idea, right? A franchise has taken what you might have wanted to do and already made all the mistakes for you, right? And figured out the best way to do it. And then they've documented that so that all the good things are there. But how do you find that it works? Because you say that like real estate professionals are one of the people who you target for that model. So I have two questions about that actually. But first of all, how would that work for a real estate agent or real estate professional? Wouldn't they feel a conflict between, should I do the PropertyGuys thing or should I, right? What if a lead comes to me through PropertyGuys and then they end up wanting me to list it like outside of that? I mean, how would they juggle that?
That's a great question. And they would do both. So there are multiple scenarios. I'll kind of narrow it down to two. So it can either be a real estate professional that is not an agent. Sorry, I have my kitten that wants to jump in the call. I don't know if you heard the meows. So it can be a real estate professional that is here. I'm going to show it to your audience. So, hey, say hi. we know each other. So you know that whenever I'm on a Zoom call, he must come in. It's pretty much automated. So back to your question, when it's a real estate professional, say a mortgage broker, real estate, you know, photographer, real estate lawyer, those are amazing fit because they, as a franchisee, they work on a large volume of clients. Typically, franchisee get on average 100 listings a year, and a similar number of buyers, and so a large number of customers. And so they can channel those customers to their other business. The franchisee that is starting soon south of Boston, he's actually starting with two territories. He has a successful mortgage brokerage. He had it for 20 years. He is also an agent. But his main goal is to have this this franchise for to have this double dip as I like to call it, his mortgage clients might want to use the franchise because it's such an amazing model. And some of his franchisee would need his service as a mortgage. So that's how we can, you know, maximize profit. That's one scenario. Now you were asking me about agents, and agents are one of my favorite candidates because, and I'm not talking about the top agents that make 7 or 8 figures a year and that have been established for 20 plus years or more, and that are very set on in their ways. You know, they're doing great and that's no problem. But the majority of agents are either you know, agents on the side or not necessarily finding the level of success that they'd like, because it is a crowded industry, because there are so many you know, agents in every state. So in this case, having their passion for real estate, their knowledge for the real estate industry, becoming a franchisee, not only they will be able to help all those sellers with the property guys model, but they're licensed, so they can actually help those same sellers who want to buy and say maybe 40% of sellers. I mean, I don't know how it is for you, but say 40% of sellers are also looking to buy. So 40% of 100 listings, that's 40 buyers that you're also helping with your license. So, you know, it's not one or the other. It's actually very much, we absolutely welcome agents to become franchisee. And we've, even though for most of property guys history, franchisees were not licensed historically, now more and more, I think it's close to half of the franchisees are getting licensed with property guys. We've started a sister brokerage. It's called Property Guys Direct Realty. And so we offer them the opportunity to get their license under PGDR, be a licensed franchisee, and literally double their revenue and profit overnight. When they were successful as a franchisee, becoming a licensed franchisee makes literally double their income. It's been the case for many of our franchisees.
So the other scenario that I'm wondering about is a real estate investor who might be wanting to do that because they're interested in finding property, right? That's not on the market mm-hmm. yet, that people are interested in selling. But would that be considered like a conflict, because they would obviously be invested in maybe wanting to value that property a little lower or whatever, but Would you see a conflict of interest with that?
No. And that's a very good question. And we do have, again, because I'm going to mention often, we do have lots of franchisees who do this or that, because we've had hundreds of franchisees over the years. We currently have about 100 up and running. So I know for a fact, I know some franchisees by name who got their franchise for that exact purpose. They actually discovered Property Guys by being clients of Property Guys and loving the model. They used it a couple of times for their own properties. They got their own franchise. And the one in particular, his name is Jim. He's out west, and he has now 3 territories. And he's, you know, pretty much 50% of his time is as a franchisee, the other 50% as an investor. And it is a great opportunity because, yeah, you see all those deals. At the end of the day, when you're a non-licensed franchisee, or when you have the hat Property Guys, you're not representing those clients yourself, because you're basically kind of the facilitator for this whole process. So you're absolutely welcome to, you know, if you have a property that you see and that you want to get for yourself, you have the first dibs, you know, on that one. And a lot of agents do that as well, I believe, because I know some investors who actually got their license pretty much for that purpose. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I did investing before I got my license, and then I got my license and did some more investing. But I don't know that I necessarily got it because I was investing. Although once I took the test and, you know, once I took all the, I was just like, wow, I wish I would have known all these things before. You know, you realize all the things you don't know about, even about being represented, like how the agent is supposed to treat you and what they owe to you legally. And I thought back on some mm-hmm. of the transactions where I know that there were things that weren't disclosed. But, you know, you just suck it up and just say, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be better than some of the people I've dealt with in the past. So.
But that's great. That's a great mindset, because in similar situations, you know, someone who discovered, you know, those wrongs tend to take their revenge. I'm going to make up for what I lost and going to screw people over. I'm glad that's not your case.
No, definitely not. No, I want to be the change I hope to see in the world, I guess.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
So, Karen, let's like leave work aside now and let's talk about how you're able to like pop all over the world and live wherever you want and have no fixed address. How does that, first of all, how did you get to be to the point where you said, yes, this is the kind of lifestyle I want to have?
So I would have to take you back a few years. When I moved back to Canada from France, so I grew up in France, as you mentioned, I moved in 2014, did one semester. I had to finish my semester of my master's degree from my MBA that I did in France. I had to do a semester abroad. I did it in Alberta, Canada. And because I was born in Canada and I had the citizenship and I just discovered Canada as an adult, I decided, hey, I want to stay a little longer. And so I started working with a company named Vivint, and I started work, even though I had an MBA, I never seen the color of it. I started working in door-to-door sales entry level, but that is not for everyone, as right. You can imagine, sure. Door-to-door sales. But that was a great opportunity, not only a learning opportunity, you know, building character and learning a lot of things, you know, in sales, communication, tenacity, learning a lot about yourself, getting also some good habits and so on. And also practicing my English, because I was, you know, fresh off boat. I've been in Canada for less than a year at that time. So long story short, after that one summer, because in that program, I was aiming to work only 4 or 5 months. But, you know, it was commission. It was really good money. So the goal, the why for all of that was to actually go travel. And I went with a couple of friends to Southeast Asia for close to 6 months. And that's really where I got the travel bug. And I repeated this process, traveling most of the year, then coming back to Canada and working for 4 or 5 months. I did that for about 3 years, but realized that it was not sustainable long term. I cannot, you know, I didn't see myself doing that for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years. So I started thinking of a way to have some consistent income while I'm also traveling, because I wanted to keep traveling at least for most of my 20s and maybe, you know, early 30s. I'm 32 now. I didn't want to wait, you know, until my retirement to actually have all those experiences and actually living my life as I intended, if I even reach 60 or if I even reach retirement. So I was very fixated in that mindset. Borderline hippie mindset, and I had that in mind. But things a few years after that, in 2018, when I moved out east for personal and professional reasons, that's when I started my first business, and that's really where I saw the door opening to. Okay, I'm gonna have a business, but I don't want to have a job. I want to have a business that I own, that I grow, and you know that I potentially remove myself from the process and work on the business in my own terms and from wherever. So that, you know, 2018, 2019, that's really where that idea started to come to something more concrete. And for those who are familiar with the book, The E-Myth, it's a great book, great golden book. Great book. I'm sure you know it. and those who don't, you know, Google it right away and get it. The idea was now, you know, from that book, which in a nutshell explains how as a business owner or an entrepreneur, typically you have those three hats of the technician, the manager, and the owner, and those are three different jobs, and you need to separate them. And get people to do those, you know, to do those jobs. And for that, you need to create systems and processes that you have recorded for every part of the business. And all of that is in your operation manual. And your business is effectively this operation manual. So you can duplicate, you can delegate, and so on and so forth. So that was then my goal for the next few years to do that for my cleaning business. By the way, you mentioned it earlier, Steammates. So it's a residential commercial cleaning company in Canada. We have two locations. And so that was what was driving me for the next few years, because I wanted to as soon as I remove myself from the process, take the show on the road and just, you know, have my income, work on the business whenever I want and wherever I want. Long story short, last year, exactly a year and a couple of weeks ago, I was in a position to actually do that, and it just so happened that's when I got introduced to my wife, and I went to Kuwait because that's where she was living, that's where we got married, and the rest is history. I had barely came back to Canada since. I've been away for a year now, 7 months in Kuwait, now 5 months in Malaysia. And with some Dubai, with some Saudi Arabia, with some Cambodia recently. So yeah, a few times we were on a call and you asked me, where are you today? Well, I'm in Cambodia today. it's been great. And even more fun, by the way, now that I'm with my wife than when I used to do it, you know, on my own.
Nice. So yeah, I'm sure that was a big criteria. You would not want to marry somebody who was just like, oh no, I don't really like, you know, traveling. I really would rather, right, settle down.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that couldn't be. That couldn't work.
that was actually one of my criteria because I'm Muslim. And so about 5-6 years ago, that's when I basically kind of reconverted to Islam and became, you know, very practicing. And so one of the things is you can't really date as, you know, we understand it in, you know, in the Western countries. So it's a little different, but it's not necessarily something unique to Muslims. The idea is really to, you're looking to get married. And so instead of, quote unquote, wasting years, you know, dating, then getting engaged, and then it might not be the right fit. And you find out like 2, 3, 4 years later, you know what you want, you know, the you know, what you want, and also the red flags and the things that are, you know, no go. And so if you know that about yourself and who you're looking for, and you're meeting, you know, potential spouses with the purpose of potentially getting married, it actually makes the whole process, you know, those 5 years of dating in, you know, a few weeks or a few months. You talk about goals, vision, kids, education, values, and so on, right off the bat, if it's the right fit. If he or she is the right fit, then you move forward, you know, with trust in one another, in the process, in God, and so on. That's what we did. Actually, we got introduced by mutual friends in May. We got married in early September, so 4 months basically. And so, to answer your question, yeah, one of my big criteria was to to want to go travel. And funny enough, she also went to Malaysia a bunch of years ago, and she also had Malaysia in mind. So that was, you know, a sign.
That's funny because, you know, a lot of sort of Western style dating is people pretending that they don't want to get married, and like, you know, you don't want to rush into it, and you just, you know, so you have to kind of, you're holding back, you know, you're not, you know, you might date someone for years and then say, oh, you know, oh, you don't want kids. Oh gosh, you know, that's kind of a deal breaker, right? Because it's not really the done thing to talk about it on the first date. Like, you know, these are my goals. This is what I want. I mean, that's just, I guess, considered to take like the romance out of it, but it's not very efficient.
It's true. No, and that's the actual word. Like, I was very focused because I've done all the dating and the partying and the having fun, you know, before. And then, you know, I saw all of that with a different lens. And that's why now I, you know, promote it, preach it to it. Again, it doesn't have to be on, you know, Muslim or believers. It's just efficiency. And for anyone who's married, they realize that, damn, I wish I actually spent a few more years with my wife or my husband instead of all those, you know, relationships that either broke my heart or, you know, any kind of scars. So when you think about it this way, I wish I knew what I know now when I was, you know, 20-ish, because I would have spent, you know, an extra 10 years with my wife. But
well, but then you know, it's not for everyone either. Are today too, though.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? You might not have attracted your wife at that time. So
that's right. I would.
You were not digital. I mean, you weren't nomadic really at that time, right? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, you weren't really truly nomadic.
That's true. No, we're the result of, you know, We're the sum of, you know, all our experiences and everything that happened to our life. So that's very, very true.
Don't regret. Don't you regret that you didn't meet her 10 years ago. Just enjoy all the time you have. So Krim, I know there are people who want that lifestyle, but are there challenges? Are there things that make it right? I mean, you have a cat, like just to me that like, oh, a cat, isn't that kind of a domestic thing? Two cats, right? So that's sort of, to me, yeah. That's like, oh, I don't have a cat because I just, you know, I managed to keep my plants alive, you know, it just feels like extra baggage now we've got when we travel, but I guess you're not just going someplace different every week either. But yeah, so tell us about some of the challenges, some of the things that make it awesome, some of the things you love about it, and some of the things you're like, well, this part's a little bit tricky.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a great question. And that's come on point because we were having a big discussion earlier with my wife because we, I'm going to explain to you. We came to Malaysia with the idea of having, so it's a 3-month tourist visa. And after some light verifications, I thought it was not a problem to renew your visa every 3 months. You leave the country for a few days and you come back. You can do that in a lot of, you know, in a lot of countries. Yeah. But since we've been here, we've been told that it's a little risky, and you may or may not. It really depends on who you're gonna find at the border. If they like your face or not. Oh, you've been in, you know, 3 times. That's it. You can come back in. Mm-hmm. So today we were having a long discussion. We were trying to get a digital nomad visa that I just discovered recently. It's a long application. But long story short, the cats were involved in the discussion because we're going to have to leave for actually a couple of weeks and figure out what we're going to do with the cats and so on and so forth. So there are lots of challenges at the personal level. You can't, from stuff that you like, you can't have, you know, a bank account here. So a lot of like the transactions are international. There are a lot of things, you know, discovering the country, obviously the language barrier here in Malaysia, everyone speaks English or somehow speaks English somewhat. So it's fine, but I've been in other countries where, you know, the communication was a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. From a business standpoint, there are challenges to that lifestyle. And that's actually what I wanted to highlight in particular, because I'm sure there are some consultant coaches, any kind of business owners who are already working from home and want to take their business remote. Being mindful of the time zones, being able to always have proper Wi-Fi or, you know, some kind of data for, you know, Zoom meetings or even emails. In some countries, it's even just difficult to send an email. So that's either some, you know, research that you have to do prior to your journey, or having to figure things out on the spot. That's more my jam. I just go and then I figure things out.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of consideration to be had prior to that. Now you were asking, what are the perks or the cool things? I mean, everything else.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to talk specifically about here in Malaysia, one of the reasons we chose this country. And it's the same with the Philippines. It's the same with, you know, even potentially Thailand, Bali, and so on. Quality of life is amazing. Like literally right now, I have the sea right here. I have jungle right there. I can go explore in either direction. The food is amazing. The people are great, super friendly and welcoming and so on. But on top of that, the cost of living is just, it's about a quarter the cost of living in North America, literally. We're in a huge apartment with sea view, with swimming pool in the building, $400 per month.
I'm pretty sure you can rent a parking space for $400 a month.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it has certainly parking spots too. Cost of living is incredible in a lot of those countries. I'm talking Southeast Asia because that's, you know, where I've been the most. But, you know, a lot of countries in the Caribbean, in South America, in Africa, or even in Eastern Europe. So nowadays, yeah, if you are a digital nomad, if you are a nomad entrepreneur, I highly, you know, recommend just today go and buy a flight, one-way ticket somewhere. You won't regret it because you know, getting out of your comfort zone is always tough, but that's really where you grow the most, where you get the best experiences, where you learn the most. I've had business opportunities or business ideas coming, you know, my way as I was traveling. Obviously, some amazing connections from all around the world. I can confidently say that in most countries around the world, I know someone, and you know, if I want to travel visit that country, I have one or two people that I can call. So a lot of perks, and even more personally, you get to it really opens your mind and make you, you know, more tolerant, more approachable. You understand a lot more cultures, and the struggles of people. I mean, it humbles you a lot also to see whether it is, you know, poverty or homelessness in some countries is not the same as poverty or homelessness in Canada or in the US, by far. And so that really, you know, humbles you, and you realize that, well, you should be a lot more grateful for what you have than most of us are. Yeah. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Kerm, I love talking to you. I'm so excited that you signed up to be a guest on my podcast. This is because we never can get into this level of detail. And normally when Kerm and I are talking, we're on a networking call. So it's not appropriate for us to like go off in these tangents. But I've learned so much about you. This has been a blast.
Thank you so much.
If somebody wanted to sort of talk to you, reach out to you, and just like pick your brain a little bit about any of the things that we've talked about today, what is the best way for someone to, are you open to that concept?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, I, as you know about me, I love, you know, meeting new people. Whether it is for the business opportunities we mentioned, teammates, property guys, but not exclusively. Someone who wants to some advice on how to take their business, you know, on the road. Someone who wants some advice on how to start a business from scratch, or you know, what is the best franchise? It does not have to be property guys. I have some good knowledge also on how to choose a franchise, why choosing a franchise. So any of those subjects and more, definitely reach out. So on LinkedIn, I'm particularly approachable. If you send me a message while you want to connect with me. So my name is Karim Qureshni, and I'm the only one on LinkedIn. So wow. You can find me quite easily. Should I spell it, or it's gonna be?
No, we're gonna put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. And beside that, if they want to know more about Property Guys and the franchise opportunity, so simply Property Guys Massachusetts, that's on Google. That's the best way to find, because you're going to see my website as well as the franchisor's website, and both have a lot of resources and videos. So propertyguys.com Massachusetts, or a combination of those words on Google, and you're going to find it quite easily.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm really
well. Thank you for having me.
This is great. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and thank you, listener, for listening. If you're in Malaysia, maybe you can look up Kerm. Maybe you can reach out to him on LinkedIn and say, "Dude, I heard your podcast interview, and I want to meet you in person. You can take Kerm for lunch or a drink, or you know, like a little coffee or something." And if not, you know, who knows where he's going to be next? So maybe you can hook him up there. Please forward this episode to someone who you know who wants to hear some really fun, exciting ideas and ways to change your life in a really exciting, exhilarating way. And then be sure to be here next week.